Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you go through your stuff, have you ever pulled out one of your old student identification cards from back in the day? Maybe an old driver's license, an old passport picture, and you went, wow, things have changed. I know I've seen some of my old ID cards from school, and you see the big giant glasses and the hair that just didn't quite work, that outfit that you go, why did I wear that for picture day? You look at your identification card and maybe you cringe a little bit. And yet, even if this identification card was kind of ugly and something you didn't like, it did serve a purpose, right? It identified you. And for us that do drive, having a driver's license is a requirement. And it also identifies who you are. It talks about your height, weight, hair color, and various other aspects of you. As you can guess, today we're going to be talking about identity and the connection with Christ's identity and also our identity. And that's what we see in Epiphany. The word Epiphany means revealing, and we see who Christ is revealed, but then also how that impacts our identity, how that impacts your identity. Because if I were to ask you the question, who are you? What might you say? I think depending on the day, we might answer that question in a different way. And I don't think Alice, if you've seen the cartoon, Alice in Wonderland, where the caterpillar is standing there asking Alice, who are you? I don't know if she knew how to answer that question, and perhaps you don't always know how to answer that question. Or perhaps you've defined who you are based on what other people have said about you, or what you think other people might be thinking about you, or about those things that you've done in the past. We define ourselves in a different way, and that can affect how we live, because we often live based on our identity. We do based on what we are. So the question for you is, who are you? But before we wrestle more with that question, we have to ask the question, who is Jesus? And that leads us to our gospel lesson for today from Luke chapter 3. As it says in Luke chapter 3, as the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. The setting is this. John the Baptist has been preaching a message of repentance. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God? All these people are coming and repenting. And John is then speaking about the Messiah. The Messiah is the Hebrew word Mashiach for the anointed one. The word Christ is the Greek for anointed one. So Jesus Christ, Christ is not Jesus' last name, but rather his title as the anointed one. John is speaking about this anointed one that is to come, the one who has been prophesied about, and he speaks about one who's going to be way greater than John. In fact, the analogy that he uses, John says, I am not even worthy to untie, to touch his sandals. In that day, the person that would take care of the master's feet was the lowest of the slaves. The feet get dirty and grimy and dusty and nasty. John is saying, look, I'm not even worthy to touch his sandals. This is how much greater the Messiah is than I am. I baptize you with water. He's coming. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then he speaks about this judgment that's going to come. He's speaking about something significant. And we know that he's speaking about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ does come. And as he's speaking to his disciples at one point, it says in the scriptures that he breathed upon them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, giving them authority. Then in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, we have tongues of fire which come down upon the people's head. They are given the Holy Spirit and the church exploded with the supernatural power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the one who sent out his disciples and promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit. So John is speaking of the Messiah, and we know that Jesus is the Messiah. So Jesus comes there in where John is, and he comes also to be baptized, and John is a bit confused, saying, well, wait a second, you don't need to be baptized. You should be baptizing me. Yet Jesus does to fulfill all righteousness. He then goes and he's baptized, and as Luke chapter 3 says, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. So Jesus had something far better than a government-issued ID card. Rather, he had the voice of God coming from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He had the Holy Spirit come upon him like a dove. Right there in that moment, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, right there in that moment proclaiming who Jesus is. So what is Jesus' identification? The beloved Son. I love what our hymn that we sang speaks about Jesus. Hymn 405, to Jordan's river came our Lord, the Christ, the anointed one, whom heavenly hosts adored. The God from God, the light from light, the Lord of glory, power, and might. The Savior came to be baptized, the Son of God in flesh disguised, to stand beneath the Father's will and all his righteousness fulfill. And you know what's really neat about what's happening here is not only is Jesus identified as the beloved Son, but Jesus is also being identified with us, with you. That God would allow himself to be made and take upon human flesh to be identified with you. And because of that identification with you, that changes our identity. So Jesus is identified as the beloved Son. That will lead to an identification with us. And also, just something kind of interesting, the Levitical priests, before they became their service, they were washed before they began their service. And they began their service around age 30. And Jesus, before he begins his public ministry, is baptized, prepared for service. And that is, in fact, also significant because Jesus is called the Christ. And what does the word Christ mean? Anointed one, and where is Jesus being anointed? In his baptism in the Jordan River. Pretty cool stuff. So he identifies with us, and that has an amazing impact on our lives. Because how do we see ourselves? And here's a deeper thing. What would we be? What would our identity be apart from Christ? That's a scary thing. How many of you have seen the musical, read the book, Les Miserables? A couple of you. It's the story of a man named Jean Valjean, very interesting character who got himself into trouble and found himself serving for about 19 years doing hard labor in prison. Now, finally, after a number of years, he was able to get out of prison, but the problem was he was a marked man. His identity was marked by the number 24601. That was his prison number, 24601. The problem is, though, that mark that was upon him in prison carried through into his life after prison. He still identified himself with 24601, and unfortunately, other people did not want to be associated or identify with him, therefore leaving him in a difficult and desperate situation. He was also still living according to his old identity, and he would do things that were wrong. And he came upon this amazing transformational moment, though, as he experienced grace. Some of you might recall at one point, he's in a desperate situation. He comes to, it's a cloister, a monastery, it's a place where there is this priest. And he's knocking on the door, and the priest sees him there. Jean Valjean is bedraggled. He's a mess. And the priest welcomes him in, gives him warm clothes, gives him a place to stay. But Jean Valjean is still living in the old identity, 24601. He's still a thief at heart. And so even though the priest offers him grace, Jean Valjean is plotting how he might take advantage and take those beautiful silver candlesticks that are upon the altar. And he's grabbing them. He's collecting these silver items within the sanctuary. He's going to use them to survive. And he makes his way off, but he gets caught. The authorities catch up with Jean Valjean, and this is bad because if he gets caught now, he's in for it. He's done. But the priest does something incredible. The priest offers the candlesticks to him and gives him this amazing show of grace instead of turning him into the authorities. And Jean Valjean's life was transformed. He was so awestruck by the grace of this priest that he was weeping in tears and just amazed that somebody would show him such grace and mercy. And from that day forward, he was a new man. He was transformed. His life took a turn, 180 degree turn. And the story of Les Mis shows that journey. Was it easy? No, but along the way, he discovers what it means to live in his new identity. So apart from Christ, we would be dead. We would be considered worthy of hell. But you see, Christ, because he identified with you and me, because he took on human flesh, because he fulfilled what we couldn't fulfill, because he lived the law perfectly, because he went to the cross for you, offering himself, showing an extreme mercy to you, so that instead of you being punished, which you rightly deserved, which I rightly deserve, Jesus took that punishment upon himself and exchanged that punishment for something new for you, a new identity, forgiveness, and life. Romans chapter 6, our epistle lesson for today, says this: Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might walk in newness of life. Who wrote those words? The Apostle Paul. Remember our friend Paul? The one who was zealous to go and kill all the Christians? He was dead set against the Christian church. He wanted to wipe out the way, as the Christians called themselves. And he was on his way to Damascus when the light came from heaven. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul was transformed by the grace of God. A new creation, a new creation. So Paul writes these words that you've been connected, buried, and raised with Christ in baptism. You're a new creation. Paul was the one who speaks to Timothy and says, formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And that message of renewal is offered to the people in Jerusalem as the disciples speak the words of new life. In Acts chapter 2, Peter speaks and says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself." This is amazing news, and it has implications for your life right now. I love what Luther speaks about when he talks about baptism. And he says this, he says, "For to be baptized in the name of God is to be baptized not by men, but by God himself. Therefore, although it is performed by human hands, it is nevertheless truly God's own work. From this fact, everyone may himself readily infer that it is a far higher work than any work performed by a man or a saint. For what work greater than the work of God can we do?" He also says, "We must regard baptism and make it profitable to ourselves, that when our sins and conscience oppress us, we strengthen ourselves and take comfort and say, nevertheless, I am baptized. But if I am baptized, it is promised me that I shall be saved and have eternal life, both in soul and body." So what does this mean for you? Well, you have a new identity. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes we define our identity by what others have said about us, about the based on the lies that we've told ourselves. Perhaps you've had someone who, maybe when you were little, said you were a loser. You're stupid. You're clumsy. You're never going to amount to anything. Fill in the blank with whatever terms you heard, possibly, growing up. Perhaps you've been defined by something that has happened to you, something difficult, something tragic. And sometimes we can define ourselves, who we are, based on something that has been done to us. Or perhaps we've had lies that have grown within us, and then we have lived based on those lies, and that's affected our behavior. It's affected how we've interacted with other people. We've shut ourselves down from other people based on our identity, how we view ourselves. And the confidence that we could have in Christ is not there because we're defined by that old number. Maybe it's not 24601, but some other identity. But as we talked about, in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. And so I love what our hymn says that we'll be singing at the end of the service. These words, God's own child, I gladly say it. God's own child, I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price. Do I need earth's treasures many? I have one more worth more than any that brought me salvation free, lasting to eternity. Sin disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. I have comfort even stronger, Jesus' cleansing sacrifice. Should a guilty conscience seize me, since my baptism did release me in a dear forgiving flood, sprinkling me with Jesus' blood. He's the one, Jesus is the one, says, I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine, which means a new identity, a new citizenship, all kinds of wonderful things. And perhaps you are tempted to live back in that old identity. Or perhaps the old devil's whispering in your ear, like a fellow named Javert, also from Les Mis. There's a constable named Javert, and he's constantly after Jean Valjean, constantly reminding him of his thiefness in the past. You're a thief, you're a thief, you're a loser, you're no good. And Javert is chasing him throughout the entire plot. Yet at the end, Javert, he goes away. But Jean Valjean, he is a new creation. And in Christ, you are a new creation. And when Satan is whispering in your ear that you're no good, that you're a loser, you can say these words, which is also part of our hymn, the closing hymn. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God, my Lord, unites with me. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? So rejoice in who you are in Christ. And when somebody asks you who you are, you can tell them who you are. I'm a baptized child of God. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.